Father, I thank you for communion. I pray now that your Spirit will guide my mind and my mouth so that we can hear and see Jesus as we prepare to honor you for what you did for us. Send the Spirit now, Lord, to bring peace to this congregation and keep Satan out of here so we can clearly see what kind of God we serve. Thank you for hearing this prayer and answering it, because it's prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Why I love communion, I'm going to share with you briefly as we prepare to take part in the foot washing and then come back in here to take the emblems of his broken body and his shed blood. By the way, if you're a visitor who's new to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I invite you to observe the foot washing as it takes place in the men's room or the women's room, or you can stay in the sanctuary while the foot washing is going on, because we have the children's story in here during the foot washing. But I want you to know that you're perfectly welcome to observe and ask questions, and we'll be more than happy to answer them. So today I'd like to share with you briefly, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. The first king of Israel, good old Saul, and he was what? Bad. The second king of Israel was David, and he was good. The third king of Israel was Solomon, and he was bad good. And the fourth king, the fourth king of Israel was Rehoboam, and he was just plain bad. And suddenly the kingdom split in two. And the northern kingdom, King Jeroboam, at the appointment of God, took over, and he was bad. And then came his son, Nadab, and he was bad and was assassinated after 2 years. And then came the one who assassinated him, Baasha, and he was bad. And after him came his son, Elah, who was bad, and he was assassinated. And after him came King Zimri, and he was bad, and he committed suicide. Then after him came King Omri, and he was what? Very bad. And he had a son who followed him named Ahab, and he was super bad. By the way, I forgot to tell you too that Zimri died under mysterious circumstances after a short reign. I'll tell you, the record of the northern kingdom, because of the sin of Solomon, set in motion a horrible epitaph for God's people in the northern kingdom. But after King Ahab, or during super bad King Ahab, came Elijah. Thank you. And Elijah was super good, but he wasn't the king. And so suddenly I became aware of the fact, if you've ever wanted to illustrate what does God mean by, but where sin abounded, grace much more abounded, and it actually says abounded much more, that God would send such an incredible prophet to a people who didn't deserve the time of day, wouldn't you say? And if you would read through Kings, the section that covers Elijah, you will find that he did approximately 24 miracles, and still Ahab and the northern kingdom apostatized and were super bad. But God sent a messenger, He sent a messenger because God's heart aches for His people. He doesn't want anybody to be missing from His kingdom. I don't care how bad you may think someone is. God loves them just as much as He loves you. And where grace, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. A man of the stature of Elijah shows up, and his purpose is to work on that kingdom to get them to reform so he wouldn't have to destroy him. Destroy them. Which ultimately ended up happening. By the way, I left off all the rest of the kings, and it just gets worse. It doesn't get better. There was not one king of the northern kingdom that was good. Folks, we're talking about God's people. We're talking about the guardians of the commandments to the nations surrounding them. That instead they focused on being like the world. And God is so loving that He sent a man like Elijah who brought a message to the king when he said to him, "I'm not the troubler of Israel, but you are." And so I want to remind you why we exist. Can you see that quote up there? "Today there is a need of the voice of stern rebuke, for grievous sins have been separating the people from God. Infidelity is fast becoming fashionable. The smooth sermons so often preached make no lasting impression. The trumpet does not give a certain sound. Men are not cut to the heart by the plain, sharp truths of the Word of God. And His grace abounds so abundantly that He will send individuals who will speak plainly, even though it doesn't make them popular." But we're at the same point. In fact, if you notice here, we go from Elijah's time down to ours, the smooth sermon so often preach. That's not just outside the church, folks. It's inside the church. And we're coming down to the wire where Jesus is returning soon. And unless we're cut in the heart by the Spirit of the living God to repent, we will not be ready for that second coming. You know, I tremble over this upcoming GC session. It isn't so much over the topic. It's over the fact that when I look out there, I see so much hard-heartedness and stiff-neckedness. And I don't want to be like that. And I don't want my church to be like that. And I don't want the visitors that come here to be like that. For sin is destroying this planet and God's people, and that's exactly what Satan is trying to do. And then it goes on to say, God calls for men like Elijah and Nathan. You do remember what Nathan said to King David? "You are that man," right? For Elijah, Nathan, and John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist. He's my very favorite. He said to the religious leaders, "You vipers, who told you to flee from the wrath to come?" And then he said to Herod, "You shouldn't be married to that woman." And the minute he said that, he knew that would cost him his life. Only he still said it because the Spirit told him to say it, because that's the only way that Herod could obtain salvation. And so God sends men to speak the truth in love, because Jesus was in love. Men who will bear His message with faithfulness, regardless of the consequences. Men who will speak the truth bravely, though it calls for sacrifice of all they have. It's scary, but it's true. And so, my friends, why do I love communion service so much? Because where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And check this out in closing. With intense interest, the unfallen worlds watch to see Jehovah rise and do what? Destroy those crummy people on the earth. I mean, this, when I read this, folks, I know this is Christmas time. When I read this, the unfallen worlds finally said, that's it, we know what Jehovah's going to do. He is going to rise up and wipe them out. And then it says, dot, 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 the deity was glorified, but instead of destroying the world, God sent His Son to save it. There it is right there. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. In the understanding and the assessment of the unfallen worlds, destruction is what they deserve. And what did God do? He sent His only begotten Son. Folks, He sent them. He sent Him, knowing what they would do. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And so, though I'm not perfect, I come to communion. Though I'm not perfect, I wash somebody's feet. Though I'm not perfect, I take the bread and the wine. Why? Because I want to do whatever makes Him happy. Because instead of destroying me, He sent His Son. And then it says the deity was glorified by pouring upon the world the flood of healing grace that was never to be obstructed or withdrawn till the plan of salvation shall be fulfilled. And brothers and sisters, no one should be able to model that to society like a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. And that's what this church needs to be, this pastor needs to be, and what you need to be, and I hope you want to be, and that is a flood of healing grace. And so that's why I not only take part in communion, I don't say I'm not worthy to take it and run away and hide. But why I enjoy it is because I am honoring a God that no one on this universe with collective intelligence over 6,000 years could invent if they even tried it. Our God, Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of you know Fiorello Henry LaGuardia. He was the New York mayor, the 99th mayor of New York, three terms from 34 to 45. And here's a story about him that really touched my heart. When he was the mayor of New York during the worst days of the Great Depression and all of World War II, was called by the adoring New Yorkers the Little Flower because he was only 5'4". And always wore a carnation in his lapel. He was a colorful character who used to ride the New York City fire trucks, raid speakeasies with the police department, take entire orphanages to baseball games, and whenever the New York newspaper were on strike, he would go on the radio and read the Sunday funnies to the kids. One bitter cold night in January of 1935, the mayor turned up at the night court that served the poorest ward of the city. LaGuardia dismissed the judge for the evening and took over the bench himself. Within a few minutes, a tattered old woman was brought before him, charged with stealing a loaf of bread. She told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her, and her daughter was sick, and the two grandchildren were starving. But the shopkeeper, from whom the bread was stolen, refused to drop the charges. "It is really bad neighborhood, Your Honor," the man told the mayor. "She's got to be punished to teach other people around here a lesson." LaGuardia sighed. He turned to the woman and he said, "I've got to punish you. The law makes no exceptions. $10 or 10 days in jail." But as he pronounced the sentence, the mayor reached into his pocket and he pulled out a $10 bill and tossed it into his famous sombrero, saying, "Here's the $10 fine, which I now remit. Furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat." So the following day, the New York newspapers reported that $47.50 was turned over to a bewildered old lady who had stolen a loaf of bread to feed her starving grandchildren, 50 cents of that amount being contributed by the red-faced grocery store owner, while some 70 petty criminals, people with traffic violations, and the New York City policemen, each of whom had just paid 50 cents for the privilege of doing so, gave the mayor a standing ovation. I thought, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And a little pittance of a story could never compare with our Lord and Savior Jesus, but it sure does move the heartstrings to let us know there are people who care, and we need to care more than anybody else. And so now we separate. Father in heaven, I want to pray for each person here that you would let these thoughts settle on our hearts and our minds, and that you would go with us to the foot washing so that as we're washing the feet of our partner, Lord, our hearts thrill with joy knowing we're doing what Jesus did. We're being a blessing to someone else. We're humbling ourselves, Lord, by touching somebody else's feet, and that in so doing, it will strengthen their relationship with you, their resolve to be faithful, and make our church that flood of healing grace, Father, that you want it to be. So dismiss us now with your presence, and thank you for your sacrifice. Now may we honor you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.